So are you standing with your heart abandoned? Lord, I thank you, Father, right now. Lord, come in a mighty way and touch us. Come in only a way that you can, Lord, that would just be your presence with us here. And Father, what we say and do has nothing compared just to experience your presence. I pray, Lord, again for your anointing upon the words that are spoken here. I pray your anointing upon each and every one of us that are here in this sanctuary. Those on the grounds of this church, Lord, many times as I sit out here, Lord, and reflect and claim forth that this is your kingdom property upon this earth. And I realize, Lord, that all this earth is yours. But we do proclaim this acreage, this place where you have planted this church for all of these years, Lord, that this is your property upon this earth. And I pray, Lord, that we have kingdom people attending. I pray, Lord, that people are receiving what they are to receive from you for change in their life, to be able to go forth, to show your love and your light to those outside your kingdom. And that we advance your kingdom in a mighty way upon this earth, upon this sphere. There's enough things going on, Lord, that we know the darkness is getting darker. This darkness is getting gross darkness. I cannot believe at times the things that I read. Things that even pertain to your churches, Lord. And we need a shakening and we need an awakening. And I pray that, Lord, upon this land. I pray that upon your churches, Lord God. And those churches, Lord, that have turned their back upon you and going the world's ways, Lord, I pray for your grace and mercy for them. I pray that they would sense that and turn. Lord, we have churches in wicked ways right now, Lord. And I pray that you will turn these churches back to you, Lord. For how can we minister your love and your light to a world that's dark when you have churches that say we're churches living in the dark? We come against that now. And keep us pure. Keep us alert at Harvester's Church, Lord, that we don't succumb to the world's influences and a little bit of leaven to leaven the whole loaf. That we're quickly identifiable and easily able to set it aside and say, Lord, you come and guard this place. Guard this body. Guard this sanctuary. Guard these acres, Lord. Guard our lives. Guard our homes, Father God. Guard our relationships with our husbands and wives and family and children and whatever it may be, and friends, Lord God. Let us be bold. Let us be bold. And walk in love. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you. Woo! And last week I shared about the kingdom, about pressing in. Press, press, press. I told somebody last week as I was visiting afterwards, I said, I wish I understood basketball other than thinking about it, and you hear this. A full court press. So I had to look it up, really, but it just means that everybody is pressing against the opposing team. They're just coming down the court, pressing, 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 pushing them. And that's what we got to do, you know, for going into that of the kingdom. Press into the kingdom. And as long as we're pressing into the kingdom, these crazy things that we read and these things that we hear about churches and this and organizations and this and blah, 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 is that we will stay true to our leader, God. So today I wanted to look, and we saw this last Thursday in our Bible study, and I had to just go back to it, and it'll be in Exodus 19, 5 and 7 in there. Exodus 19, 5 and 7, we want to kind of look at there, or kind of start transitioning that way. But I want to look at how we can be, or already are, because I liked what it said there in the Scripture. A special treasure to God. Isn't that great? That God looks at us as a special treasure. Now, there are some quantifying things that you have to be a special treasure for God, right? I don't think it's following the lesbian and gay agenda. I don't think it's following the pro-abortion agenda, the immorality agenda. It requires us to be following a higher standard. But as we follow that higher standard in our daily life, day in and day out, it shows a changed life. It shows a life that is not like what I see in the world, but I see something different. The way this is accomplished is by us being set apart. And he talks about that in scriptures of setting us apart. What is wrong with being set apart from this world? Can anybody think of anything? Why? That's dangerous? And see, this kind of lines up as I got this for this morning, and I just read this thing this morning in regards to that church and all, is that it's okay. I want to be set apart from this world. I do not want to be any part of this world. I want to be in this world to influence it for the kingdom of God. Influence it for what God says he wants, and what God says is wrong, and what God says is right. So I've got to set myself apart. You have got to set yourself apart to be this special treasure to God. To set apart for God and for his purpose. How many here want his purpose in your life? Amen? Lord, use me. Here I am. It is God's intention for his people to be different than those in the world. Deuteronomy 14:2 in the King James will say, you're peculiar people. It's okay to be peculiar. Amen? The world's peculiar, but they're peculiar in the wrong way. They're peculiar for the god of this world, Satan. And I am peculiar because I'm for God, the Creator. So it is God's intention for his people to be different than those in the world. We are to be distinguished in nature and in character from the world. This lends itself for us to do what? You need to think different. You've got to act different. And you've got to live different than how this world lives. As we look at this, it's not taking a whole lot to really look different than the world anymore, is it? It's actually getting to be really easy to identify that of a follower of Christ and that of the follower of the devil in this world. Because the vast difference is so wide now. It's like, my goodness, look at all of this between us. That's just normal life for the world. And I've got a suspicion that the more we side with that of God, that our numbers are not going to grow. We read in his words, of God's words, about the church that's a remnant church. We've shared that, and you're aware of that, and understanding of what a remnant is. A remnant is not the full garment. And God and his infinite wisdom, because he's God and he knows it all already from his creation. He knows the path that we're all going down. He knows the path that this world is headed on. And he's telling us, and if we can just rest in that, I can rest. At one time, I might got a little upset thinking like, we're not going to have a high amount of numbers of people coming to that of Christ. And the church is going to be growing and blowing. Because God's word says it's the opposite. It's going to be a remnant of what it started out to be. I don't want numbers. I want people that are sold out for God. I don't want numbers. I want people that are saying, I am a child of the King. That the kingdom of God inhabits within me. And that I am changing my life. I am changing my style. I am changing my thinking to be more like his. So that goes along with what? To think different, act different, live different. You need to separate yourself in some respects to the things of what this world is all about. Now, we'll still share the gospel. We want to share the message of the hope, of the good news. But you better guard yourself where you go. You better guard yourself how you look in situations. Because it's real easy to fall in to the muck and the mire of this world. I know you probably already know this, but we're in the devil's backyard, playing in his areas. But we're to be a difference in his areas and be stronger than what he is. When these areas are recognized and people see us different than the world, this will ultimately bring glory to me. Look at me. Whew. I'm a great guy. Powerful, man. I'm awesome. Great. No. When people see a difference in me and all, it's to bring honor and glory to God. Well, I'm just the in-between. I'm the conduit. I'm the clay. I'm the pot. He might have to push me back on the wheel again and reform me a few times. I don't know. My spout might be broke. My handle might get chipped. But he can correct that. But I got to stay with him because I want to be that special treasure to God. Do you want to be a special treasure to God? So what is that? In Exodus 19, 5 through 7. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. Say all. All. You will be a special treasure above all people. May not be a lot of people with you being that treasure, but you're going to be the special treasure above all the other people. And I'm not looking to be winning the popularity contest. I'm not looking at how popular or how great I am. I want to focus and show the greatness and how great God is. And how he can take you, sinner, 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 and change your life and give you hope and put your path or your feet on his path to bring you to the destiny that he had planned for you already before you were in your mother's womb. The plan that he has before he puts you in your mother's womb, it gets distorted once our feet come out and we're out on this world and we're on the world's path. It's easily to get distorted in the world. Amen? The world has a lot of things that it'll promise you. But it'll have a lot of things that it'll lie to you about. Keep my covenant, and then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. As we continue reading Exodus 19, 5 through 7. For it says at the end of that of 5, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and he called for the elders of the people and he laid before them, or he set before them, all of these words which the Lord had commanded him. Moses, wow, he was a good go-between. Because the children of Israel, they didn't want to go see God. It's like, you go talk to him and come back and tell us. We're not going to go there. He's powerful, man. But Moses went back and forth, and God told him what to say. God told him what to show them and what to tell them and how to tell them. In the Amplified, it says, now therefore, if you will in fact obey my voice and keep my covenant or my agreement, and then you shall be my own special possession and treasure from among all the people of the world. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation set apart for my purpose. And these are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites. But we're going to be set apart. When you serve God, God is going to set you apart. Amen? You shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, or, brackets in the Amplified says, set apart for my purpose. And these are the words that you will speak to the Israelites. And so Moses called for the elders of the people and told them all these words which the Lord had commanded him to. And so we look at this, and God had it in and had it for the Jewish people. So why did God choose Israel as his nation? Well, God knew that no nation on earth would be good enough to be called his people. are his special treasure. He chose Israel not because of anything they had done, but because of his love and his mercy. And you get back into the covenants and the Abrahamic and the Abraham covenant and you get back to the Noah covenant and all of these things that God dealt with his people and the Israelites. And he made promises and he made pledges to them. And I'm here to tell you today that what God promises and pledges and says he will do, guess what? He will do. But there's a other side of that. There's things that we have to do, must do, need to do, like, think different, act different, live different, follow his covenant. The question we could ask is this: why did God need or want a special nation on earth? Simple, to represent his way of life. He wants us to represent his way of life, to teach his word, to be an agent of salvation to the world. Not just Israel would be blessed or be a blessed nation through Abraham, but all the nations upon the earth would be. You find that in Genesis, beginning of the creation, and Abraham and all that God worked out with him, and how we go through that of the flood, and then we go through that of the children of Israel, then he's bringing them through the desert, and he's protecting them from this, and he's giving them that. And as we look at this, it was the children of Israel. But I can look at it today, and it's for Tim. I'm a Gentile, but I've been grafted in. Have you been grafted in? Talks about in his word where we have been grafted in to that Jewish people. And what was kind of interesting is what? The Jewish people were slower at understanding it than the Gentiles were once they got a hold of it. And as the disciples went out, and as Jesus shared, the Gentiles were picking up on this thing faster than that of the Jewish people, because the Jewish people were saddled with restrictions and limitations, and they were serving, they thought they were serving God, but they were serving the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the rabbis, and they were getting their signs from them, which back in the day, that's all they had back in the Old Testament. But when Jesus came, guess what happened? It all changed. And now Jesus is there for all of us. You can look at Romans 12:2. Remember about change. Romans 12:2 talks about not being conformed to the world, but being what? Transformed. The life of a Christian, the life of a follower of that of Christ, is continuing transformation from this life and what I knew as a citizen of this world to become that of a citizen of his world, his kingdom. But it takes transformation. It takes my effort to realize what I have got to put forth. You have to realize, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to put forth an effort for the kingdom of God. Proverbs 1:15 says not to walk in their way, meaning the world's ways. Do not walk in the ways of what the world is about. How many people do we have in our churches walking in the world's way? I just shared this morning about the church. A church is walking in the world's ways. And there's many churches, and there's many pastors, and there's many Christians out there that we say we're Christians that are walking in the world's ways. But God's word would continue to tell us, you got to separate yourself. You got to come out of the world. And don't go back. Keep yourself strong in that of God. Keep yourself strong in his word. Keep yourself strong in the warnings that he is giving in his word. We talk about in 1 Peter 2:9, I think it's about his own possession. Well, I don't know. Just for the thing, let's just turn. Let me see if I can just... 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are you glad to have been called out of darkness? It's not fun staying in darkness, is it? And it comes to mind sometimes... How many have been in a darkened room? But the longer you're in that darkened room, you begin to see some things, shadowy things, and you can kind of gravitate and move around in those things, but it usually doesn't come without stubbing your toe, hitting your shin on something, walking into something. And as we have stayed in the world longer and longer, we kind of think we're okay because I think I can navigate through this. I can see what's going on. I can see this or that. No, you can't. And that's kind of like what sin is doing in our lives as we stay in the world. It's hiding us, it's keeping us from that of the love and the grace of God and his love and his mercy because we continue to live in sin. We continue to operate in that level. And God says, you've got to come out of that, Tim. You've got to come out of that and come to me. And when you come to me, don't turn back and go back there. I think as I already shared in Deuteronomy 14:2, talks about a peculiar people. So there's things in his word that tells us that we're strange, you know, we're just passing through, that we're different. We find in Exodus chapter 19, as we look through verses 5 through 8 as well, it talks about in Genesis 15 and 17 that God made a covenant with Abraham, promising to make his descendants into a great nation. We find here in Exodus this promise is being realized as God restates his agreement with the Israelite nation, who were the descendants of that of Abraham. God promised to bless and care for them. The people, on the other hand, promised to obey him. The covenant was sealed. But we know, even though they had good intentions, it wore off. Have we had good intentions in our life? I have. I'm probably the only one here today that I've made some extra promises with God. If he would do this, I would do that. Anybody else there? Oh, God, if you will do this, I will lay this down. Oh, God, if you will show me that or take me here or provide for that, I will lay this down or I will come and do this for you or serve you there, here, there. Whoa, whoa, whoa. How foolish. And you know, the crazy thing is, as I was making those promises to God, he already knew, Tim, you're not going to keep it. He's got a lot of history with that, with the Israelite nation. And then sometimes I get so pious, I go, well, I cannot believe those Jewish people, those Israelites, how they had him right there. They saw his blessings. They saw his provisions. And they said, oh, we're going to follow you. Don't do this. We'll always be with you. 3 days later, they're totally different somewhere else. Mad at him, complaining to him. Anybody here complain to God? I think because I've been engrafted in, I've picked up so much of the Jewish thoughts. I'm going to blame them. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to blame them. I wasn't like that until they engrafted me into their doggone vine. Oh, yes, I was. Oh, yes, I was. But the love of God for us, even when we promise him things, as soon as it's out of my mouth, he's already saying, it ain't going to last, Tim. But sometimes out of his grace and mercy, what does he do? He gives me what I ask. Has he done that for you? Think. Some of those things in your life that we've kind of did little bartering with God. And God already knew the outcome, but he says, I love you so much, Tim. And in his wisdom, he sees it beginning to draw us closer to him eventually. Right? He knows the ending to the beginning to the end and everything in between and all this stuff. And it's that love, tender love, a love that he will continue to expound upon me even when I fall, even when I don't hold up to my end of the bargain. Because when I don't hold up to my end of the bargain, then I kind of get that thought process like, oh man, because then the spirit begins to work on me. And my spirit is hearing the spirit saying, and I don't know if it's really his spirit, the Holy Spirit telling me, Tim, you lied. I think it's my spirit coming up within me saying, Tim, you did it again, Tim. Tim, talking to yourself, talking into the mirror. And then I get into that, how, Lord, can you love me so much that you forgive me for that? But then we understand and we realize that that continuation of forgiveness through that of the blood of Jesus is a continuing washing of that sin from us But the thing is, you've got to recognize, number one, that that was sin. And once you recognize that sin, and that's what the devil likes to try to do. He likes to keep it like, that's not sin. No, that's okay, Tim. You're fine. Don't worry about it. It's good. No, when I realize it and I come to grips with it, I got to say, get out of here, devil. That is to sin because it's not honoring my Father in heaven. Or I told him something that I would do and I didn't hold up to my bargain. And I hear things in my spirit. It's better not to vow and do something than to vow and not do it. God doesn't want to hear you just giving him lip service. Oh, I vow, I'll do this, I'll do that. And he's saying, no, you're not, you liar. But as we grow and mature, remember we talked about our lives begin to change, our actions begin to change. We're that treasure, we're that special treasure in his eye. That he works with us continuing, and pretty soon he cleanses us. And I know that I can go back to that of Christ to forgive my sins, to say, Heavenly Father, I am sorry I lied to you. You already knew it was a lie, but you allowed me to do this only because you love me. But as we begin to grow in our faith, as we begin to grow with our relationship with that of God, he's a tender father saying, you need to change. And as I mature, as I'm sure you mature, you begin to recognize that. And you go, enough is enough. Because how many in our natural state would love our kids to continually come to us and lie to us, and we would continue to give them things, but they could come back and lie to us, and we continue to give them that. In the beginning, that works for a little bit, but after a little bit, all of a sudden, the dad's got to say, now, son, daughter, you've promised this 25 times now, whatever the case is. And there has to be some consequences, right? And I think with that of God, when we've gone through some of these processes, and we know, and it goes on and on and on, and we know, that then God has to say, I love you, but there's tough love. There's consequences that has to come from your actions. And by his love, his grace, and his mercy, once I recognize that, and once I come to that realization, I know that I can pour out my heart to him and say, oh, Father God, I am sorry. Please, please forgive me, Lord. Take this. I repent from this, Lord. Take this sin. And out of his love and the continuation of the power of that, the blood of Jesus, he's been gone a long time. He's at the right hand of God the Father, but that blood that he let go back on the cross, it is still good, powerful, and cleansing for today. For those that need to come to him for the first time, or for those of us that have been with him for a time and a season and quite a season, and when we mess up, that we know that we can come back to him. And it's not slippery grace that I do it only because I know on Friday I'm going to get drunk, so on Monday I can ask for apology and ask for forgiveness. The next Friday I'm already planning, I'm going to go get drunk, I'm going to go womanize, but I'm going to ask for forgiveness on Monday or Sunday when I go to church, and I'll be okay. No. Don't go down that slippery hill of greasy grace. Because eventually you're going to hit a spot that doesn't have grease on it. And you're going to stop suddenly. But come with a repentant heart and a sorrowful heart and ask him for strength to be able to stay away from that sin, to make it past that opportunity. And he will help you and give you those tools. Amen? But you got to ask. But you got to do your part. But you got to ask. But you got to do your part. You got to think different, act different, live different to be that treasure of God's. Amen? So we find out in the verse here, and this is just something that we shared on Thursday, but in in Exodus 19:5-7, we find that in these verses, the Lord is indicating his objective for his delivered people. Are you his delivered people? Amen! I'm a delivered child of God. How about you? His purpose for their destiny requires their understanding his essential priority for them. And what is that? To worship him. We were created to do what? To worship him. He's a jealous God. He wants our undivided attention. He wants us to wake up in the morning and say, "Oh, hallelujah, I love you, Lord. Praise you for a beautiful day." He wants us to go down at night, "Thank you, Lord, for being with me this day and providing and protecting and taking care of me. I love you, Lord. I worship you, Lord." That's what he wants to hear from us. Continuing worship and praise. He knows you got problems. He can handle those, but worship and praise him. Hallelujah. His redemptive goal and kingdom reinstatement. As they learn to worship as a nation of priests, they will discover his foundational means for their possessing their future victories. I look at you and I proclaim you've got future victories in your life. As a worshiper of God, hallelujah. As a child of the kingdom of God, you stay connected to that kingdom. You stay connected to God in every fiber of your being. In every breath that you breathe, somehow, some way, in your conversations, you're talking, but in your mind, you might be thinking, "Thank you, God." You're just continuing to worship and to praise him so that he can just continue to pour himself into you, so that you are his precious gem, your jewel, your precious, your special. Oh, you're special. But the world tells you you're not. See, the devil wants to tell you you're a failure. You're nothing. You're just breathing oxygen that somebody good could use. You ought to just die. That's the world. That's the devil. But we are a special people. We are his special treasure. So as they learn to worship as priests, they will discover his foundational means for their possessing their future victories. As one whose domain or kingdom he has promised, their restored rule from sharing to kingdom possession extends from their walk before God in worship. Israel's deliverance from Egypt is not only a triumph testimony, it is God's timeless type of showing his plans and his methods for the church's deliverance and intended conquest. We read these things even in the Old Testament, but they're part for today as well in our lives and what we're going through. Do you believe that? My goodness. Psalms 22, I'll just start here. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night or season, and I am not silent. This is just, oh, God, I've been there sometimes. Oh, God, why aren't you hearing me? I know you don't have any hearing aids. I know you don't need them. I know you hear. I know you see. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. The Psalms were the praise hymnal of the early church, and as such are laden with principles fully applicable for New Testament living today. Few principles are more essential to understand than this one. The presence of God's kingdom power is directly related to the practice of God's praise. The verb enthroned indicates that wherever God's people exalt his name, he is ready to manifest his kingdom's power in the way most appropriate to the situation, as his rule is invited to invade our setting. Woo-hoo. Oh, come and invade my setting, Lord. Invade my problem. Invade this situation. It is this fact that properly leads many to conclude that in a very real way, praise prepares a specific and present place for God among his people. Some have chosen the term establish his throne to describe this enthroning of God in our midst by our worship and praising. God awaits the prayerful and praise-filled worship of his people as an entry point for his kingdom to come and to enter into his will be done in our circumstances. It makes you wonder sometimes, you know, praise and worship, that's a powerful tool. People can come in just totally whipped. But in the power of praise and worship, and it's not to be building up in a frenzy of manipulation, okay? It's not that. But to get into, I don't know how many times when I sit and just listen to some of the music prior to Sunday morning and as it kind of starts falling together for me, and I just sit there listening to it, it's just like I just get lost in it. And I begin to pay attention to the words. And I think upon those words. And it's a praise and a worship to God. The people could come in just downtrodden. And I know by that of power of the praise and the words and the music. And it's not the person singing it. It's not the music itself, but it's the music. It's there, but it's God. And it takes us from here into that realm of, oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. And pretty soon I hope they leave with a spring in their step. It's important for you. If you come in with your head down, I pray that you walk out with your head up. But only you can do that with the help of God. And when you come in down, you better surrender it to God. You better lay it at the altar. You better lay it in the praise and worship. And be willing to listen and to hear from God in your situation. Even though it's been a very hard week, bad week, tremendously trying week, come in and lay it down and let God take that. And let God put a spring into your step. Let God come into your spirit and give you a freshness. It is nothing like, oh, I tell you what, when your house has been closed up for a season and there's a spring air and it's cool outside just right and everything's kind of like outside growing and this, well, unless you got allergies, let's forget that. Okay, but you open that window and I smell the freshness of the air. Why is that? Because our windows have been closed up in our house for so long, we have stale air. The windows of your praise, your body, your spirit has been closed up for a season or two seasons or quite a few seasons. And nothing is in there but stale air in your spirit. And you can't even muster up a hallelujah. I mean, you're very stale. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, today, windows in their spirit, Lord, would be opened, and that a freshness of your spirit to flow within them, Lord, and that anything stale within their spirit, Lord, would be removed and filled with a freshness of your air, hallelujah, and let there be a freshness and a newness awakening in the spirits and their spirits that are here today, Lord. Lord, I encourage you people to grab a hold of God today when you're in his sanctuary, when you're with people of like faith, when you're attending the service, and get rid of the stale air in your body, in your spirit, and in your thoughts, and get into the freshness of that of God. Amen? And go out with a freshness in you. You're going to need it because you're going to suck in some stale air out there next week. I can tell you that right now. And you're going to come next week and you better exhale that stale out and let the freshness back in. Hallelujah. And for those that really catch on to this, you can do that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on your own by what? Praise, worship, worship, praise. Get out with the old and in with the new. And God says you can do that. You don't have to just go to church to get freshened up. God says I'll freshen you up on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. It's sad that some people think they got to get to church so I can get recharged again. God can recharge you Monday morning at 10 o'clock, Tuesday at 3 in the afternoon. You've got to be willing to know that you need to be recharged. You've got to really be able to understand that you need to be refreshed. And when that comes, you better open up your spiritual window and you better plug in your spiritual plug, whatever, to get charged back up or to get that freshness in your spirit. Amen? Amen. It's awesome. This is awesome. God is so good. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. See who you are in that of Christ. See your treasure. You are a treasure, special treasure with Him. I'm tired of the world saying that you're nothing. I'm tired of your situations defining how strong you are as a Christian. You've got Christ in you. You are a strong Christian. Amen. Don't let the situation, don't let circumstances and the things that you're dealing with tell you how good or how bad or how strong or how weak you are. You go in with a boldness. You go in to say, I am a kingdom child. Hallelujah. And I'm not just here to take over a little. I'm here to take over it all that God has for me. And whatever the enemy has held and holding on to and trying to keep a hold of, he is not anything compared to what my God can do. Remember, we're fighting a spiritual battle. It's not physical, spiritual. But you got to get yourself in the natural to begin to shout in the spiritual. You got to get your, oh, I'm beat down, I'm wore out, I'm hurt, I'm this, I'm that. Oh, Father, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But that's the whole thing, is that God does not want us to look at the size, the numbers, the excitement. God is not enthused with all the excitement. That's all sometimes just piped in, and we know we're a fickle people. And you can be excited for only how long. But you can be in love with God forever. And you're, what do we say? You think different, act different, and live different. That's all that He's wanting you to do. And I believe in some of those instances, I will be excited. Yes, Lord! Because I'm going to see the victories. I'm going to see these things happening in the spiritual realm. In the spirit, I see it happening. In the natural, I don't see it happening. But that's okay. I don't want to look in the natural. I want to look in the spirit because my Lord is battling in the spiritual realm. I am a spirit being with a body on right now so that you can at least see me up here. Don't make any comments. But God wants us, but He wants all of us. And I say all of us, I'm saying all of you. He wants all of you. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, I love you. I praise you and I worship you, Lord. And Lord, as we prepare to end today, I look forward to hearing more from you, Lord. I look forward, Lord, that I can serve you greater in other areas, Lord, as you give me that strength, as you give me that direction, as you give me whatever it is that I need, you give it, Lord. I would encourage you out there to say, Lord, give me more of what I need. Lord, what I need is from you is I need it all. Amen. You can just sit there, you can raise your hand, you can do whatever, but I say, I just want more and I need more of you, Lord, to come into my life, to come into my situation, Lord. And if nothing else, I just want to feel more of you, Lord. Just wrap your arms around me and hug me, Lord. Give me that special, oh, that special touch, Lord. I love you, Father. I worship you and I praise you, Father, for who you are and what you are and what you're doing. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. I want to think different. I want to act different. I want to be, Lord, that special treasure that you have. And it says here, Lord, as it's said in that scripture, above all the people. Oh, Father, Father, Father. Yes, Lord. Lord, rise us up. Raise us up into the heavenlies, Lord. Let us see what you see, Lord. We see victories. I pray right now for those here today, Lord, that they have victory in their situation. This day, this week. In Jesus' name, no matter how insurmountable it might be, no matter how long it's been, no matter what the situation is, we serve a big God. Nothing is too difficult for you. Oh, Father, minister now into these hearts, I pray. I pray strength and healing into their bodies in the name of Jesus. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I am so honored, so glad, Lord, to be in your kingdom. Let us continue to do what you've asked us to do, to be that influence upon this earth. To bring honor and glory to you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.